Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship Podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello.
Hello, Devin.
Hello, Dustin.
All right, Devin, we've been waiting a little bit, but you've got something for us today, so what do you got for us today?
I got two for you.
Oh, man. After all that.
After all that. People don't know. Cool. I had found a quote, and then we started recording, and I exited out of the window, and I couldn't find it again. I couldn't find my history, so I just...
And it was the best one ever.
It was amazing. Here we go. I'll mix them together.
All right.
If the day ever came when we were able to accept ourselves and our children exactly as we are and they are, then I believe we would have come very close to an ultimate understanding of what good parenting means. Mm. Further, it's not about what you tell your children, but how you show them how to live.
All right.
The first one I like.
Yeah.
The second one I thought's funny. I'll repeat the second one. It's not about what you tell your children, but it's about how you show them how to live, right?
Right, yeah.
That's from Jada Pinkett Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So, see how that's working out for them.
Yeah. No, that's good. I like, yeah, if you completely accept yourself and you completely accept your children, that was the end of that first one.
Then we come very close to a great understanding of what good parenting means. So Mr. Rogers is talking about just accepting each other with our flaws and with what we are, and not setting something up to your expectation, but accepting what they are, still guiding them, but then that's your ultimate goal of good parenting.
Right. I mean, yeah. So the only, not really issue that I have with that, but the only like pushback I have on that is, well, and maybe it's not even pushback, right? So as a parent, our goal is to make our children better people. And to like kind of push them to become better people,
right?
This, you know, yeah. and help them move forward by some encouragement, whether that is like, you know, however you take that angle into parenting, whether that's like with a stern fist or with whether that's with like, you know, caring encouragement, like however that is, right? It's kind of our goal to push our children to become better people or to become a, you know, like a good addition to society. Mm-hmm. So like,
I think
that you need to accept like what type of child your child is and then work within that, you know, within the guidelines of what type of person they are. You don't try to change them to make them someone who they're not. You just try to make them a better version of themselves.
I think sometimes accepting kids on who they are doesn't necessarily mean accepting the misbehavior. That's obviously
right.
It's accepting something deeper you are teaching them how to be a type of person, but there's a category of person that they will be, or a personality or views that they'll have that you can't change.
Right.
And maybe just settle in with it. Right.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, you know, they're a type of person and you want them to like be a better version of that thing, right? So you're not trying to, you're accepting them from who they are, right? It's like you might, you know, you want your kid to play piano or you want them to play sports, but like if they're just not into it, you know, and they're not enjoying it, then, you know, what's the why? You know, like, is it, are you trying them to push them to do something because you want them to do it, because you think it's right for them, or because, right, or because it is right for them and it like fits for what they do? And I can speak from experience that, like, with Corinne, you know, she's gone through a bunch of different things over the years, and she's kind of stuck with them long enough to be able to then make a decision of if she wanted to continue with it or stop doing that type of those things. You know? So, you know, it was never like, I think whenever she showed an interest in something, we'd try to encourage it and then help her, you know, by like financially or whatever that is, to be able to like give her the ability to try that thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we also, if she like wanted to do it for, you know, 1 month and be like, I'm done, I don't ever want to do it again, like, we might have encouraged her to kind of keep going. But she doesn't have that personality, right? So she, you know, and we also know her well enough, I guess that's part of it too, like knowing your child, like understanding, accepting who they are, and then kind of working within that, you know, within that environment.
So I found my quote, and the reason I couldn't find it on the reason I couldn't find it in my history is because I had it on my phone.
Nice.
I pulled up on my phone, and then
so
I
you
was
didn't get rid of it.
No, it was right here on my phone when I turned it back on.
All right. Well, you want to do that one now, or you
sure?
Say
yeah,
next week?
We'll do one more bonus one.
All right.
Marriage is a school by itself. Also, having children, becoming a father changed my whole life. It taught me as if by revelation. The beginning of that quote is fine, right?
As if by
revelation. Yeah, it's a school right. having yeah. this, but. The phrase, it taught me as if by revelation,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a great statement.
Yeah.
Like, it's this thing that hits you right. like a wave, maybe marriage and kids and stuff. All of a sudden, in an instant, you're changed.
Yeah, right.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like that. Like, you know, you say you get hit by a wave of yeah. it's you're put into it, you know. Yes, of course there's some, like, you have some choice into whether you do it or not, but you don't have any of the experience until you're in it.
Right.
It changed me as if by revelation. I like
revelation.
That.
Revelation.
That's good.
So yeah, so if I bet people can maybe guess.
Parenting.
I've got a secret to tell.
Yeah.
Having another kid.
All right. Yeah.
Dustin already knows, obviously. This is a yeah. weird place to tell.
It's funny because, like, when you did the first quotes, I didn't even think about it that you may be, like, hinting at wanting to reveal that. And then, then when you did this one, as soon as you started it, I was like, oh. Yeah, right, that's why the parenting quote is there. Yeah, I was like, well, I'll wait till you, yeah.
Yeah, it talks about parenting just in general.
Yeah,
right. Once you start saying parenting. But yeah, so listeners, if you can guess if it's a boy or girl, pause now, take your bets.
and then whatever your answer is, if you're correct, then you can put an Instagram post, send Devin an Instagram post and let him know that you were right. And the ones who are wrong, you send
I won $20.
You won $20?
No, that's what I'm
or
saying.
Or you say that.
You send me, and then I get a cut of it. I get 10%. I get $2. So, yeah, having a boy.
Yay!
Hey.
That's pretty cool.
It's got a girl and a boy now. We're a boy on the
you're
way.
All, you're all rounded out. It's like the American ideal. White picket fence.
I know, I got to put a fence up.
You have a dog, a girl and a boy. A wife.
that's
cool.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, that is really cool. And you you let us know right around Easter that Caitlin was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you found out, that was fun too. And so Devin sent out a text to the four brothers, right? So just like within that group text, and kind of said, all right, like, we know the sex, anybody, you know, place your bets now. So we all kind of chimed in, and I was thinking boy at first. That was my gut reaction. But then for some reason I switched it and I was like, oh, I'll say girl. Like, it was something about, like, I don't know, like, something, it felt like it made sense within the averaging, you know, like, I have a girl, Derek has a boy and a girl, Drew has a boy. Like, I thought, like, it would make sense for you to have a girl and a girl, right? Like, it kind of averaged out. Like,
Something different. The other thing.
Yeah, like two of the same sex.
That would be the last. Yeah, each brother would have a different, like, set of
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like Drew would have, maybe he might have. Yeah. Right. So one boy, a boy and a girl,
one
two
boy,
girls, and
one
girl.
Yeah. But yeah, really, right, it is. It's still different. Derek had a boy, then a girl.
So right. Yeah. Like older girl, boy. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely a different dynamic. The older sister is a different dynamic than older brother. I mean, you know, they all come with their good things and bad things.
I said, my son's going to hate it until he's like 17. Right. And all Maeve's friends come over.
Right, exactly.
All his like 20-year-old friends, like freshman year in college, you know?
Hey, hello, ladies. Yeah. But so you sent out the message and we were all guessing, and then, you know, it came out that it was a boy. And Drew, like, I had guessed girl. Drew had not guessed. He had said Steph had a dream about a boy.
That's right?
Is that what he said?
No, he said a girl. He said Steph had a dream about a girl.
That's right, yeah. So he, but it wasn't like his guess.
I think that's his guess.
I mean, yeah, it was, but he never said like, I will say, I think it's a girl. He just said Steph had a dream about a girl.
Right.
And then Derek guessed boy, and then you told us it was boy, and then so Derek was like, I win, and Drew was like, well, I didn't technically lose.
Oh.
Because he's the one who said that he didn't.
He's the one,
right?
See, I would have.
He threw himself under the bus.
Yeah.
I was like, it's always something with Drew. He's always like, well, I didn't actually lose.
It's
like,
Drew's no-no. No-no.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I just told you what my wife. No, if you bring that up as when I'm saying put your guesses in now, that's your guess.
Uh-huh.
So, you lose.
It was good, though. Because, like, Drew is, like, he's just the, like, just competitive enough that there's, even those little things, it's like, I guess that's brothers, too, you know? It's like, but he's like, well, I didn't really lose, you know, because it wasn't really my guess. I just told you what Steph said.
Right.
So. But that was funny, too, because then he was like, well, I guess someone's having a girl, because her dreams are never wrong.
Right. You're like, well, yes, someone is having a girl.
Yeah, right.
Maybe she got a wave of, like, something from the neighbor, some type of...
A wave. An omniscient presence.
No, she'll hear that some, like, celebrity had a girl. So there it is.
I knew it was my favorite celebrity from 20 years ago.
Right.
Yeah. Well.
So, yeah, it's exciting, fun stuff.
That is cool. That's good. I'm excited. That'd be fun.
But... We can.
Oh, yeah.
Well, some of it. It's some weird stuff. We're not sure yet. The baby's due a day after my birthday, which is October 8th.
Bum, 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 bum.
And that's usually the first weekend. And this year.
Maker Camp.
Is it? It's right then, right? Right on the 8th, 9th.
Yep. It's always that Columbus Day weekend, that Maker Camp is that, like, second weekend of Maker Camp or of October.
So. It's 99% chance that I'm not going.
Yeah, that's a dagger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is, you know. So I know we've kind of talked about this a little bit, but I'll be doing a like a bow making demo class during Maker Camp. I'm not sure how many, you know, sessions that'll be and whatnot. And our plan is also to build a target, like an interactive target thing that people can shoot at and make a YouTube video of it. So we'll still do that. I'll just be bringing it myself. Yeah, it is. I know. I was like, there was a tiny part of me that was like, oh, good. I don't need to like shoot a video while I'm at Maker Camp, but I'll have a whole another set of responsibilities, you know, like to be leading, you know, leading classes when I can be just like chilling. But I, you know, I'm excited. It'll be fun chatting with people and talking about bow making and working on some bows while I'm there and showing people different things. And I'm trying to think what I can do as like a giveaway. I'm thinking what I might do is I might do like a Flemish, like a bowstring making class, and have people learn the Flemish twist and make themselves like a bracelet or a necklace or something, you know, which would be kind of cool.
Yeah, maybe. You know? But you don't have to do that.
No, I know. I think it's kind of cool.
I think the attraction is that people can go shoot a bow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I'd push it too much, because then you're doing that, then you're getting supplies. Then you're setting back-to-back-to-back-to-back classes.
Right.
On, like, that type of thing and helping people out. If you can just focus down to come and shoot, because that's going to be enough, too.
Right.
Teaching people how
shoot
to shoot.
Yeah, shoot the bows, yeah.
Making sure everybody's safe. That's going to be, like, a full-time job. And then, you know, during the mornings or whatever, when you're, like, actually finishing up a bow.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, you can go there with a half-made stave, kind of.
Right.
And be like, yeah, all right, exactly. You got it down to this point, and there. I have 2 days to right. like, I have 2 days to finish it down.
Right. Yeah.
And you can have photos of what it was, or, you know, something like that. And then.
Yeah. Yeah, ooh, that'll work.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to think of something like if there could be, you know, because people, like, there's so much stuff at Maker Camp where you can do something and, like, keep it and take it with you. Yeah.
But you can't.
Obviously, they're not going to make a bow, you know? So I was like, what? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just thinking the thing that the archery is offering is an experience. Just like, yeah. I mean, you can have the experience of making something, blacksmithing or welding. Yeah. And you come away with something. Right. But I think everybody's going to want to shoot a bow.
Right.
Or why yeah. not? Hey, go over to this cool target thing and try to shoot at it. You don't need anything yeah. more than that. People are going to be ecstatic that they did it anyway.
It's yeah, that be will be cool. That is fun. I'm excited.
You know what
that.
I mean? I feel like that's yeah. such a big, exciting thing, and it's going to take so much more focus. And now I'm not there, so it's going to be you or whoever else helping you. I'm sure you'll get some people to help. But
right, yeah.
It's going to take, I think it's going to take enough time and focus just to, like, keep everyone safe, you know?
Right. And I'm trying to think of, like, how we'll set up for, like, the range, you know? Like, I have to reach out to Austin and figure out, like, if he knows kind of where he wants me and then what we need to have. Like, can he get me a dozen bales of hay that we can just put up as a backstop?
Yeah, I think.
Or if not, do I need to bring, like, you know, I can make a backdrop and hang some canvas from yeah, it, you know, that then, like, shoot the arrows into that.
True,
you know,
but so. we need more than that, right? You need like, at least 20 foot by, you know, you need what they had when they had throwing axes back there.
Right, and yeah, back where the hill
you,
is.
You
yeah.
need that big stack of hay and be like, hey. Right. Hey, I know you did it. I know you did it for that, and I think this is what we need to be safe. I think it'll be a great thing. So if you can acquire a bunch of bales of hay, we can do it.
Right, and there's enough farm country up there. I don't think that would be too hard. And bales of hay are not that expensive either. You know, a couple bucks a bale or something. So,
right. So make that happen. And
I got to reach out and we got to kind of start planning on that. But that'll be fun, right? Because I'm knowing kind of where it is, then we'll know the extent of what we can build. You know, so if it's like something that swings or something where you, like, you know, you shoot at some targets which fall over, or, you know, like something, I don't know, you know, kind of like a carnival-y type thing, but also,
right.
you know, a skills thing. So, yeah. It'd be fun, like maybe some, like, you know, like an actual bullseye type thing that's mm-hmm. there, so you can shoot mm-hmm. at a target. But then there's also maybe something that moves, and, you know, you have like right. six arrows to shoot what you can shoot or something.
Right. We have like three targets that people are shooting at, two right. people per target. You know, you get like six people at a time or whatever.
Right.
And then you do once at the end, like free shoot. We're gonna release the thing, and you know, try to get. That's something, you know, you could give it. You could give out small awards.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
idea.
Like
they do at Renaissance Festival.
Right, yeah.
So if anyone hits something, mm-hmm. if anyone hits the moving target, you get a little necklace.
Right, a leather star.
Something that's right. super easy, right? Something that you stamp out.
Punch just out like, and stamp. And
just like Renaissance Festival.
Or like a leather thing with like the AOC punch on it, because I already have the stamp.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we're talking.
There we go.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, like a token. Like, we've gotten that before. Like, actually, Matt Serio, you know, he has a token thing that I've gotten from him in the past, which is kind of cool. Right. It was just like a Maker Camp thing, so.
So you do that. If someone hits it, you give them something, and then the best shooter of each class.
Right, okay.
They get a thing.
Right.
Like, all right.
Like, the highest point. Yeah,
everyone gets three shots at their target,
mm-hmm.
and then the highest points wins.
Right.
Oh, that'd be great.
Get something. Yeah. Maybe it's like a sticker pack or something, or like, well, maybe we make some more koozies and, you know, or something.
Yeah.
Like,
or I think just the stamp out thing. You do that.
Okay.
Be like, you know, ace or something, whatever, and just a star. Yeah.
Right.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. I like it. That'd be cool.
That'll suck. I'm not
there. Maybe it'll be like a you know, a leather arrowhead or something. So like wearing an arrowhead on a necklace.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be neat.
And I could easily make some bowstring, you know, some like Flemish twisted necklace, you know, strings, or just like take bowstring and just make a bunch of, you know, make the bowstring loops or whatever. Yeah. That'd be fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll kind of keep playing around with that. If people have ideas of what they think might be cool, you could always send us a message and let us know, which would be nice. You know, you can send us a DM to me at The Art of Craftsmanship, or Devin at The Art of Camera Guy on Instagram, or you can send us an email at theartofcraftsmanship@gmail.com. Let us know. If you have a cool idea, we'd love to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well, That's cool. Yeah. So, Chopper Challenge. We're now like a few days, what, 5 or 6 days into it, in the meat of the voting, and been doing good. And you know, our video is 1 out of 10 right now, which is good, I guess. It's not doing great, but it's doing the best out of the last 10 videos.
Yeah, I mean, it's doing great for our last 20 videos.
Yeah,
which were,
and you know, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say also we like. For some reason, we were demonetized right when the video went live. Well, for some, like, you know, copyright thing. But
yeah, it's not necessarily.
Are we not really demonetized, right?
No, you're not like, demonetized. Kind of
on hold.
We got a copyright strike on a song that, did we talk about it last week?
No. No, because it didn't happen until after we moved which was on Saturday.
Right away, I'm uploading, and it's like, it pings you right away. I don't even know if the upload was complete, and it's like. We checked, and this blah, 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 blah says that, you know, it's a copyright infringement.
Right. Does it tell you where?
Like, yeah, the song at this mark is a copyright infringement. Oh, and when I saw that, I thought maybe the Last Mohicans theme.
Right. That's what I thought, too. I just assumed because it was, like, very much we, like, used it. Like, you, like, kind of stretched out and slowed it down and, you know, kind of played it.
Played a version of it on just acoustic guitar with. Yeah. I mean, that's all it was. Like that little theme I played. So I thought maybe they would strike that, but that would never be, I just don't think they would catch that unless it was a huge video.
Right.
And covers are a little different, right? But,
yeah, exactly. Cause you were just like,
now they'll just switch to that. Like, oh, they admitted to still.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They're listening.
But that, okay, fine. But the thing that they said is copyright infringement is not, it's nothing like anything. It's something it's Matt played songs, and I played on, I think, or maybe it was some of Matt and some of me. And it's like two different songs stitched together too. I used two different tracks and just blended.
Oh, crazy.
Like I used the first bit of the track in the fast part. And then there's a part where it like stops and slows down. I don't know if you watched the whole thing yet, but it, you know, when you like look into the camera.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the close up.
And then the track slows down. It's like a different version of that same song, just a slower.
Oh, weird.
So they say all that's theirs. Go, okay. And they're like, do you have any, like, what's your dispute? I'm like, it's mine. I recorded it at my house. Like, it's like everything you can do. I'm like, it's not another song.
It's an original that I wrote and recorded with.
Like, what else can I say?
That's the dispute. It's not someone else's. It's mine.
This is ours. We recorded it. This is us playing. Like what like right.
Not a copy of another song.
One point of me understands why they have these automatic automatic checks and big huge library companies.
Yeah, of course.
Because they can't so check much. 2 million videos a day or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah.
But they put the burden of proof on the person that they're accusing.
Yeah, it's
right.
It's weird.
Yeah. It's like, wait, no, you're saying we're doing something, so we have to like give you. It's like, it's either right away you're sharing money with them on monetization, or you better come up with something good. It's like, wait, what? No,
right, exactly. Because they're
so automatically you're gonna share money with them. Like, wait, no, right, no. But anyway,
right. So
it's in dispute, one thing that worried me.
Go ahead. I was gonna say we've had other ones happen that way.
And it usually resolves quickly. It will stay. They say in escrow, so it will whatever you get up until then, they will continue to count.
Right.
So it's not like it's not making anything. It is making something.
Right.
But when it decides either way, then it will. Either
according to the analytics, it's not making anything. Like we haven't made anything yet.
No,
that's what it says. It's like what estimated revenue is zero.
Well, we are making revenue on it. It's just saying that we're not getting anything because it's an escrow.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just saying, like it on our end, it looks like it's not making anything. Mm-hmm. Right? Which you know, for 5,000 views, that it wouldn't be much either. It would be, like,
but it'll at least it'll be dollars.
It'd be $20 or something. You know,
and then,
like,
then in the life of it, that's the thing. You just and it's not. It's not their music, so it doesn't matter. I don't care how much I make.
Right.
It's 0% yours. I don't care if I make $2.
Yeah. It's all mine.
You don't get, you get 0% of $2 because it's ours.
Google's already getting a huge percent of it.
We play our own music just because of that. We don't have to deal with that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that was a little annoying, but you know, and it was crazy. It was like, as it was uploading, like literally, I feel like as soon as it uploaded, we got the email. It was like, there's a copyright infringement. I was like, oh man. I was just seeing that like little money sign just stay yellow. I'm like,
I hate that.
Come on. Give it to us.
We have one other video like that, and I still can't figure out why, and we've disputed it, and they didn't.
Oh, is it? And still just like,
it's not a copyright infringement. It's a
right
half held back, whatever you call it. Not fully monetized. Some are, like, if you have this list of things, they always ask you: is there this?
Right.
Is there guns? Is there violence? Is there is there language, all this stuff, then they'll hold back some of the money and certain advertisers won't advertise on it.
Right, yeah.
So we have one video like that.
Gotcha.
Luckily, it's a smaller one, so it doesn't matter as much. But
what video is that? Which one is that?
I don't know exactly. I forget. Okay. You'd have to go back and look. But it's the one yellow money sign in there.
Yeah, right.
And that's a little annoying because it's not any different to the other ones we do.
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, we make sure that we don't have those infringements on our videos. Like, that's the whole point, right? Because we want to be able to put stuff out that makes us some money, you know? So it's like,
yeah,
well, we just make sure we don't. But yeah, no, when you have, right, just bots who are controlling that, and then you try to, you know, you put it through, you're like, no, it's not, and then you hope that goes through to somebody who's fairly logical and can look at it and be like, okay, it makes sense, right? Like, I don't know what they found, you know, because they don't tell us, because, you know.
It's YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, who you going to call? Like, you know, Google?
No, yeah, you can't talk to anybody, not YouTube. Yeah,
can I talk to the person who got the email about the Art of Craftsmanship monetization?
Even the big channels can barely, you know, talk to anybody. But anyway, so I'm sure they'll get fixed. We're hoping.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with the video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
I think it was it just works. It was a long time. It was like 3 months of shooting, but it's nice. It's got good pacing to it. And it's just it shows a lot of good different skills that you have,
right,
all in one, and it's informative. And the only thing that I wasn't sure about, the thing I'm slightly disappointed in, is we shot the whole forging of the first blade.
Yep.
But the footage we had didn't show the crack in it because Dustin was going to work on it more later. And it was just going to be simple stuff. And we were just going to catch some of it in time lapse and some.
Right.
So the splitting or whatever you call it.
Yeah, the crack.
The cracking didn't happen on camera. And then there was some footage after that I originally worked into it. Right. But then, to me, it seemed slightly confusing. Like, I put all the footage in originally. You shot some more of the last blade.
Right.
But I was putting it in, right, and it just seemed like, hey, he's done. And then there's a crack, and then all of a sudden there's, like, another one. It wasn't flowing right.
Yeah. So right. I just kept shooting from different angles throughout that whole process. So you'd have it. But, yeah, I think what you showed, where it was like, we filmed this stuff live, and then there was some of me doing it, you know, on just with the GoPro and
there
you
was
know,
like
time
the finishing
lapse
of it.
And then there was me showing the crack and then it skipped right to like the next day.
And you're like,
I think that worked, right? Yeah. It's like, with this one failed and we just worked through and I showed like I did this and I kind of talked about it, right? I forged this, and this, and now I come up with this one, right?
Right. You saw, at least you saw the process and then you saw something similar to it that didn't crack and now I'm going to finish it off.
Right, yeah.
So
honestly, I did that same process because what I did was like, you know, forge it down to a point and then I cut off the fish lips on both sides and then, you know, cleaned up the edge and then just made sure it was straight and, you know. And I didn't, I don't remember if I talked about it. I think I talked about it using like the leaf spring, you know, it didn't really need to be quenched and hardened because for one, it wasn't, you know, the blade doesn't need to be super hard.
Yeah, no,
it's
you
more
said
of an
that.
Impact
yeah.
blade. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you said.
Right. So that's, you know, I skipped, obviously there was none of that. There was no like quenching or hardening or tempering or anything. So, yeah.
But I think it came out clear enough and I don't think anybody will complain about it. And that's my thing. I think like, okay, I've done this. I wish it was a little different, but will they miss something? Or will they even notice that it's not there? If I can kind of make it right, with the way we put it together. So I think that part came out nice. And then loved all the music stuff and the intro stuff and all the the smashing stuff. It came out great.
It did, yeah. It was a good amount of footage, yeah.
All that smashing stuff at the end took a little while to get right, to try to figure out how to do that.
Right, to edit it all together.
Yeah, you kind of plop it in, and then you're like, all right, how's it feel?
Right,
and it was it took a bit. And then I added different music and didn't like it. Then I added a little bit of the extra bits of drums that our buddy Matt did for us.
Right.
Just here and there, like little rolls and little build ups. And that ended up working. Like, I was like, okay, just spare drums, that hark back to the intro.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this works because it ties it in. It bookends it.
Right.
This is the music that was the intro because he's smashing stuff in slow motion. Like, oh, cool. It's like back to this cool slow motion war stuff.
Yeah. And I'm wearing the line shirt and stuff. Mm-hmm, and yeah. I did I talked about changing after smashing everything because I was all splattered with water and stuff. Right. And so my shirt was all messy. And then I kind of liked that. I was in the ending of the video, the outro was me standing there, in the shop. Yeah. And I was still wearing that shirt and it was all splotchy with water and stuff. In the video, I just come from doing that. So it made sense.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, no, I like it. It's fine. That's where you just came from. I was like, yeah, right. It makes sense.
And then I was doing it for a bit, and I was like, oh, man, this is a bummer, because when I shoot in 180 frames, I think anything over, 60 on the camera, it doesn't have sound.
Right, yeah.
So you get no input sound. I was kind of bummed out, because I was shooting, and I was like, it's cool, but I want to hear some impact stuff.
Right, yeah.
And then I was like, oh, well, the GoPro has sound.
The GoPro records sound, yeah.
I was like, oh, all right, well, let me grab that. And then me trying to do the math and figure out the GoPro's 24 frames and then that's 180 frames. And how much to slow down the GoPro audio to match that. And the way I did it was I didn't even do the math. I'm like, I don't know. I think it's around here. And then it was a little off.
Yeah.
And then there was that one, the one where you split the pineapple.
Uh-huh.
You hit it and then it lands and then you see it land. That was the key.
Ah, yeah.
So you smash it, and then you hear it land.
Yeah.
So I just matched that up and figured out that, okay, this is whatever, this is 22.5% speed.
Right.
I'm going to use this for the rest of them. And it worked. It lined up perfect.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. That's crazy. I would not even, I didn't think about that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It just makes sense that there's slow-mo sound with the slow-mo, but yeah, it makes sense that it doesn't.
Yeah, I had to do
which, you know, usually finagling. When we do slow-mo, right, there's music over it or whatever, to
But it does, yeah. I know, if it's missing, you might notice it.
Yeah, right.
When you see the it just makes it, the impact's better, you're like, oh yeah.
Right, yeah.
You hear all the water on the things coming down. And that was, I'll give you props on that. That was great. I mean, we were shooting the stuff and then we were walking around figuring out where to do the water stuff. Or maybe we hadn't even done the water bottles.
Right. Yeah.
And we're like, things, and we're like, yeah. I think I said man, look at that sunset. I wish we had shot it over there.
Right.
And then you're like, well, we could just move it for the last two. Why don't we just do them down there? And I was
and you're like, well, you'd be backlit. But I was like, yeah, but the water bottles would be backlit, and that's you get all that cool. And yeah, there was enough. It was still enough daylight too. I didn't feel like I was, you could still see enough light on me. There was enough ambient light, but it did make it really cool.
The shots. Yeah, awesome.
And then you could see all the drips, the drips coming off the wood in slow mo was so cool, man. Oh, it was great.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were some of my favorite shots. Those two bottles and the water dripping down and all that stuff. And you laughing and walking.
Yeah. Nicole really liked them too. She's like, look how happy you are.
Right. And you're just looking at them going, oh, that was good. Look at it. It split. And you're like, yeah. You do a laugh and you walk off. That's the great thing about slow motion. It was a 3-second comment. They split in half. That was cool. And you laugh a little bit and you walk off. But that it seems like this super long, happy moment,
Yeah, right. It's like a smile that lasts for, 10 seconds.
Right. And yeah, all the water's coming off. And
yeah, like yeah. The one, the little quick, the smash in the water bottle that we posted to Instagram. And after I hit it, I'm like standing there and I kind of like, I bring the war club forward. And then as I'm like bringing it forward, the kind of more water comes off. And Nicole's like, oh, are you flicking it to like get water off? I was like, no, I was just moving it forward. I was just like, you know, right. Just move my hand forward. But in slow-mo, it looks like everything is more purposeful. You're like, mm-hmm. This thing, like, you know, like.
Right. You like, you cool. Hit it, and then you just kind of put it on your shoulder, and then you were walking. So you're, like, swinging it forward. Like
right. And I think I was probably, it was dripping, so I probably was holding it forward, so it wasn't dripping on me, you know, but right. It wasn't yeah. Like, yeah.
But every little movement looks purposeful.
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 Yeah. It was fun. It was a cool build, and it's something that, like, rarely do I make something that I don't think I'm going to really use. You know, I really like purpose-built things, and, you know, obviously we made the sword and the dagger and things like that. Like, you know, like, I can imagine myself doing something with those things in some type of, like, cosplay thing, you know, or whatever. But this is, like, it's probably just going to hang in the shop, which is fine. Like, that's cool. You know, like, it's just too much. It's too much of a, like, a killing weapon to be, you know, anything other than just that. You know, it's not like you can, like, you know, chop down some bushes with it. You know, like really, there's nothing else that you can do. It's a war club. It's designed for that.
It's a war club, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not splitting logs.
It's cool. Yeah. Like it's a beautifully crafted piece. It's more art than, you know, like an actual object.
Yeah, I think you're gonna have to hang it in a special place on the Cracker Barrel wall.
Yeah, you know, right. Yeah, with the sword that I have up there. That's for that belongs to Alex from Outdoors 55. We'll see if he makes his. That, you know, then we'll exchange him when he does.
Still waiting, holding our breath. 3 years.
Still waiting, yeah. And you know, if he's not listening and you know about Outdoors 55, go over and ask him where our machete sword is.
Yeah, we're waiting.
Because in the video, it's a collaboration between the two of us. We start the video up at his place, talking about exchanging machetes.
Son of a bitch. No, he's
good. Good guy. No, he's awesome, dude. Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, that's been good. And so we've gotten some results back from voting. And as of right now, we're kind of right in the middle of the pack, like we have been for the last couple challenges.
Boo.
Come on, people. Boo. We specifically asked about that. Like, hey, we're right in the middle of the pack. Like, get out there and vote. I don't want to give people numbers yet because we don't want to, like, you know, put that out there. But
we are millions less than the next highest person.
Ah, come on.
We just need a few million more.
I know, right. Like, it is surprising how few people vote just in general. You know, like.
Oh, yeah. That should be. I think that is a for sure lesson to us all.
Yeah.
When you think you're getting thousands or people are getting hundreds of thousands, and we can talk a little bit about that, but.
Right.
People still get. It's very few people that.
Yeah. Like, in total. The amount of views that all the videos have gotten is probably somewhere in the million or more, like total, specifically because of the one channel has like almost like has over 800,000 views now because it went crazy viral.
What's their name?
It is, let me tell you 1 second. Hold on.
The G.
Yeah, it's like Garrado or something, but I don't want to say it wrong. Leandro Garretta. Yeah. So he made a chopper. It's a cool looking chopper. But somehow the algorithm really liked his chopper and put him out there because his last, you know, 5 or 6, 7, 8 videos have all been in the 10 to 15,000 range for views. Yeah.
Which is this good.
One like has actually, I'll look at it right now as of now. And this is all right. I don't need to hear you. Sorry. As of right now, it's 9 o'clock on Thursday night, which April 27th. So we have another week or so of voting. Right now he has 130,000 subscribers. It's not like he has no people, you know.
So the thing is, he's had big hits before, probably.
He has, yeah. Right now he has 905,000 views. So he's only 100,000 short of a million. Damn. And that's 5 days.
We've never had anything. All our million count view ones have at least taken months.
Yeah.
If not years.
And So he has the most. The next highest views, I think, is Blackbeard Projects, and that makes sense because he's you know, he's a big channel. He has like 2 million subscribers or more. He has 2.23 million subscribers, and his video has 88,000 views.
Yeah.
So there's like, you know, a channel with 2.23 million subscribers has 80,000 views. That's like, that's probably a good standard video for him, right? It's like doing pretty good. I mean, look at his. So his, you know, Chopper has 88,000. His previous video has 376.
And then he, if anything, before that, has 90. Anything, you know? If anything, it's so, kind of low for him.
Right, yeah. 44,000. He had a couple videos ago, 31,000. So it's actually doing pretty good. 50,000, 48,000.
Yeah.
45,000. So his is doing pretty good. But like, it's doing kind of the way ours is doing good for our last 10 videos, right? Or whatever. Right. Like,
yeah, the weird. But, yeah. Yeah, the funny thing, I mean, that's, you just can't tell why. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Like, what do you has, do? You
know, like, he has a, I don't know, a good chopper. Yeah. He's speaking English in his video, right?
Uh huh.
Yeah. I think he is. I watched most of them, or at least I watched chunks of most of them, or all of them.
Yeah.
Like, right, the last two nights I've been going through them. Good work, like, a cool shop, a good location, but it's not much different than the rest of them, the way people are shooting by themselves. There's only so much, right, you can do.
And right, it's, exactly.
It's bizarre. But maybe it's unpredictable. You know, also, which is, you know, maybe some of the smaller countries are being pushed. You know, like, oh, it's a,
yeah,
a Italian thing or whatever he is. I forget which. But
yeah, it's weird. So I don't understand. So Dennis Tyrell, who's kind of like, he's leading the push for the Chopper Challenge. He's kind of our main kind of go-to guy.
We'll have him on next week.
We will. Yep. So he sent out the list, and there's actually, there's two video links for Heavy Forge. Maybe he just got one wrong or something. I don't know. Like, and there's like a combination between the two of them. It has, you know, has some views, but, or has some responses, but I don't know. It's odd. Who knows? Like, you know, there's like Faraway Forge, who has a really big channel. They have, you know, he has almost 900,000 subscribers. Mm. You know, he just has just a few more votes than we do.
Right.
You know, so it's like, and all of us, I mean, the like, I would say the two people below us and the two people above us were all within, you know, like 12 or 15 votes. So it's close, but that's the thing too. It's like, they're just not that many. It's weird. You know, it's like when we have, yeah, you know, even us, like right now it's sitting at about 5,500 views. You know, you would think that 5,000 people, maybe like one out of every five might vote, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe. It's hard. You know, maybe it's the percentage, right? Cause they're like only watching a portion of it and they're not, you know, getting to the end. They're not doing, I don't know. It's weird. I mean, YouTube is just like, there's no way to wrap your head around it. Like, you can try, and there's all these people who think right, they know what to do, and they're like, try this thing and this thing and this thing. And
well, yeah,
I mean, yeah, there are things that work, but like, depends on, you know, how many times you want to sell your soul to the devil.
You know, kind of. But even then, for every successful video that comes out, you have you know, thousands of copies, right, saying that same type of thing that don't get anything. Yeah, it's just,
right, yeah.
Or you know, 200 people have done it before them, and right, then 201, he does it or she does it, and then it's just, it blows up for whatever reason. So
yeah,
that's why continually you try to make quality content, because you never know when it'll hit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't, what's the saying? Luck is just good preparation, something like that. Luck is when good preparation meets opportunity.
Right. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Right.
So when it comes, you better have something that you're proud of to show.
Right.
So that's all you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, if we got 20 views on our videos, I might not do it anymore.
Right, of
course.
But
as long as we're getting, yeah, thousands of people watching, that's yeah, more than anyone would have gotten 20 years ago on anything.
Right.
You know, like, you'd,
yeah,
even,
yeah,
if you were the hobbyist in the state. And that, like, and everyone got together and everyone watched your stuff and they showed their friends and families, you'd get like 500 views on something, you know, or like right, a VHS. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I'm happy with what we're getting, you know?
Right. Yeah. It satisfies a lot of like a lot of the, what we want to do as makers and as artists where you like, as an artist, you want to create something that people appreciate, you know? So we could just be creating that stuff on our own and showing it to our families. Right. But we have an opportunity to also create some of that stuff and show people, like, as an artist, you know, there is that kind of, you know, that self-involvedness where you want to create something, you want people to appreciate it and let you know how they like it, you know, and get some feedback and then change a little bit and try to get better. And, like, that's what art is. Art is, like, taking what you are and putting it out in the world and getting some people's reaction to it and then trying to, like, create and be better and like, and gives people some enjoyment with that type of stuff we create, you know?
Yeah. Who was,
and we have the platform to make some money off of it, which is cool too.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a blessing to have that.
Yeah.
It helps. I can just, you know, I don't have to argue with my wife. I go, it's AOC money. It's fine. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. But I've also done it before. It's just like, maybe we shouldn't go to dinner. You know, we'll save a little. I'm like, AOC could pay for it. And I just move money from our AOC account.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. Like, everything we make just goes right into our joint bank account with all the other money we make. So it's just like, it's already there. It's already accounted for. It's already going to, like, bills and whatever else, you know?
Yeah.
So, where we say someone, you're like, who is somebody?
What was it? Huh?
I don't know. You're like, who is the person? And then I said something.
Who was the guy? You got some inspiration from some of their War Club videos. And then they commented, or maybe you had seen theirs and they commented on the video.
Yeah. James from Wasteland Forge. James Fleming. Yeah. So he, is that what you're talking about? Or are you talking about somebody else?
Because you responded to him. He said, hey, there was
on the YouTube channel.
On the YouTube video, there was shot where we got a shot of you looking through some images of it, and someone writing, hey, you scrolled by mine. That's cool. I like it. I liked your video, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so that wasn't James from Wasteland or from Wasteland Forge. He actually, like, I had posted some stuff about, like, forging out the spike, and he asked me what I was doing, and then he realized I was making a war club, which he has done before, so he then commented. So we were kind of going back and forth.
That's cool.
But I think it was, it's Evers Forge, I think that's his name. And yeah, that was great because I had seen some of his stuff, and I actually had shouted him out on the podcast a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
You know, just as, like, he was doing other stuff. And then, he came across, Evers Forge Works. And he said, his comment was, you scrolled past some of my pictures of war clubs I've done. Yours turned out awesome. Pard. Yeah, which I guess is, partner. Yours turned out awesome, partner. And so I responded that I had, like, I actually had found his inspiration and shouted him out on our, you know, podcast. I told him.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. But yeah, it was, That was really cool because that, like, rarely happens where, like, two people find each other without knowing they found each other. You know what I mean? like he found us independently through finding our YouTube channel, and I found him on Instagram looking for war club stuff. Yeah. So it wasn't like it's not like he heard the shout out and then went on and saw it, or maybe he did. You know, like, I mean, because I can't remember if I. Usually, I'll, like, kind of, if I do a post about the podcast, I'll say who we shouted out as well, but either way, like, that was cool. Yeah. That was interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to aim for around an hour tonight. I got a few more things to do tonight, but.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to bring up specifically? So,
one thing I've been thinking about, and I can't remember where this came from, but I want to talk about it a little bit, before we kind of wrap up, was the idea of originality in our videos and, like, what things that we have made that were original ideas. Because I don't know why I was thinking about it, but I think, I think what made me think about it was I've been working on a knife for a friend of mine. And so I made, like, the wooden template. I posted some pictures on Instagram. I made a wooden template, and then I made a profile out of some plastic, and then I made the blade and actually, profiled it, just stock removal, the blade and all. And it's surprising how fast that process takes me when it's just, like, me just working in the shop. You know, like, back in the day, I'd be using, like, you know, a Dremel with drum sanding bits and stuff. Yeah, yeah. And now it's like, you know, it's like I trace it out on some steel and cut it out with the, you know, like either the angle grinder or the bandsaw, and then, you know, grind it out with the 2x72. And it took, you know, like 40 minutes maybe, you know, to like have like a perfect shape steel that's ready for heat treat. Like I didn't do any pre-bevel grinding, which for this, because it's already an eighth of an inch, I'm just going to heat treat it full dimension, then I'll grind the bevels afterward. But like did all that plus the handle, you know, the holes in the handle for where the scales are going to be and all, and like it's all ready to go, and like it was like no time at all. I was like, man, it's crazy. But I think, yeah, I was thinking about this idea of originality because I thought about the copy of, it's funny because the video that's from is like copying specifically Ray Mears' Woodlore bushcraft knife.
Yeah, the Woodlore clone we did.
Yeah, the Woodlore clone. But in that video, I add the glow-in-the-dark liners. Mm. And I also added the glow-in-the-dark in the fire steel later. Mm. And I remember in that, when I made that, that was like, in my mind, that was a completely original idea. I had not ever seen anyone do glow-in-the-dark on a knife before.
Yeah.
And not too long after that video came out, everyone started doing glow in the dark. And I don't know if like, and I was thinking, I was like, that was a kind of a really original idea that it then like took off. And like now people use it, they'll mix it into epoxies. They'll put it into, you know, like resin. There are liners you can buy that are glow in the dark, and you can get blue and you can get green. And you know, it's a very common thing now. But when I did it, which wasn't all that long ago, like I had never seen anyone do that before. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering, like, you know, just thinking about what things that we've done over the years in our videos that were original, that were like things that we hadn't seen before. And like a lot of the stuff is, you know, knives and stuff and whatever, axes, like those are just, we're just showing the skills and things that I like to do. But like, you know, I was like, I wonder, you know, what things that we may have done. And now that we've been around long enough that we have like some influence on what other people do in the community, you know, and I'm not saying that out of just like, I think that happens. Like I've had a lot of people who are now, you know, full-time knife makers say that they've become that because of our channel and they really enjoyed it and they learned a lot from us and they took it into different ways. And people who have, you know, started into new hobbies because of watching our videos, which is super cool. That's like nothing I ever really predicted would happen.
Yeah. If you're stubborn enough to stay around for over 5 years, I think you'll get some people who're like, damn, I remember you. Back then. So man, I can't wait another 5 years. We're gonna seem so old.
I know. And in the grand scheme of YouTube, which has been around for like 10 years, you know, like we're like,
no, like 20 years.
Well, not really.
Yeah, yeah, really.
No, because like when I first started knife making,
I think it was there. It maybe just didn't have that.
It didn't really have much. Yeah, I mean, you think about like the original, like the OGs. You know, like Duresta. He started really early on, and like Lara Kampf, and I don't know. There's a bunch of people that are like big channels now that started early, at least in like the maker side of it. You know, they've been around for like 12 years.
Well, what did you say? 10.
Yeah,
you said 10, so now,
so
now
12. You know, whatever. I said like 10, right? So, you know, when I started knife making, which was in probably 2007, 2005, 6, something like that. But I, like, when I was looking for stuff on knife making on videos, I was looking at like Vimeo or whatever, like these other random like.
Well, Vimeo was after YouTube. I guess. Wow.
But like, that was not something, it wasn't enough that I would like, it wasn't like a normal thing. Like I didn't look there for how to make a knife, you know, I just Googled how to make a knife and I found like some forums, you know, blade forums and like people writing about articles and, you know, old school stuff. And then a few videos that I found just randomly, and I found Green Beetle, which, you know, I watched his video, which is the first one that I did. And that's what I kind of mimicked for the first one.
So that was around,
so that was like 15 years ago, right? So,
oh, here we go. Well, no, okay.
Well,
so
I'm 15. Saying that was 15 years ago, right? So it wasn't until like 4 or 5 years after that, that it YouTube became, I'm just saying, the reason why I'm saying that is because we've now been around long enough that we're kind of in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, Jimmy started in 2006.
Okay.
So he was there when you were in college.
Right.
Or he joined YouTube in 2006. So it was there. But yeah, it wasn't the same thing for sure.
Right.
Funny thing, Jimmy Durant, not funny, but 1.99 million subscribers.
Oh, 1.99.
So he almost hits two. That's, well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, so yeah, anyway, yeah. I was just, I thought 10 was too little. So yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying though.
Yeah, it's just it's like a short amount of time, and since we've been in, you know, kind of since 2017, you know, that puts us in what, six years almost. You know, we're going on, because it was February 2017, so February 23 would have been 6 years.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like the marriage quote is, "What's the secret to staying married and not getting divorced?"
Right, exactly.
What's the secret to a long-lasting YouTube channel? Not stopping YouTube.
Yeah, right.
Still making videos. that's all there is to it.
All right. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. And it's a little bit like golf too, like, or something like pool or bowling. All you need is that one hit of adrenaline, of excitement, to keep you sticking around. That one good drive that goes straight down the fairway, that three strikes in a row while you're playing beer league, like bowling, where all of a sudden you're the man. Like, I got it down.
You got fishing, all the answers. You know, you catch that one big fish, and then it keeps you fishing because you know it's there. It's the possibility is there.
Right. We know it's happened before. It could happen to anybody.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, it's originality. I don't know. It's I watched last night. Man, okay. So Tested. We're always talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
He did they're finishing a AT-AT.
Yep.
Diorama from Star Wars, and he was just gonna add lights to it and paint it, and the video is. Right. An hour and 15 minutes long.
Whoa.
For adding lights and painting something. I was like, ah, man, like, even for me, a huge fan. And for a channel that inspired our channel.
Yeah, right.
At least in the way of me realizing, like, oh, this is a cool format, a long form format.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. Because they do 35 minutes of it, which is really nice, which I appreciate. It was, they had Joey, the camera guy, do like the way they used to shoot him. And then he's like, Joey's not here tomorrow, so I'm going to do it in the next couple of days with just me. And it's back to the cell phone thing.
Right.
Which is fine, but I fell asleep at like minute 50, you know? Like,
right, yeah.
How much can I watch after work when I get home? Like, I just woke up and it was like two videos away from that, you know, when it just keeps going.
Right.
And you're on some random video, like, oh, I got to go to bed. What am I on now?
Yeah, right. That happened to me. Was that last night or
two nights trying on ago? Bikinis. What did my algorithm put me on?
I know. I was watching the Chopper Challenge. It was like, and then I ended up, like, when I woke up, it was on like some, like, you know, van conversion into a house. He's like, and now I'm in this part. It's like putting in a sink. I'm like, what in the heck?
Yeah. Yeah. I better go, Ben. What's going on? But
yeah, right. Exactly.
So,
yeah, but I thought that was it was just kind of interesting to think about, you know. I thought like, our, projector video, the projector box, you know, kind of like cinema in one, that was original, you know, like no one's ever done that before. I think that was like, or at least, you know, not that we had nothing to base it off of. I was like, let's just put this thing together and make it all in one. That's cool. You know, I was kind of just thinking back through, and obviously have a lot of videos that I can't remember all of them, but you know, there were some cool things, you know, like the magical toy box, that idea of having a toy box that opens on its own. That was kind of a cool idea, you know? And so it was kind of those kind of niche videos that are a little bit different, you know, not the typical thing that we do, because that makes sense, right? Because, like, we know that if we do a knife video, or if we do an axe video, or if we do a woodworking video or something, like, those are going to get more views because there's the audience there for it. So then we mix in the, like, the other ones that are just kind of fun, you know, or interesting to us.
And we also do that not only just because of that, but because some of those videos have gotten a lot of views. Like, the ones you think that might not. Like, I'll just do this thing, and then...
Yeah, the barrel fire pit.
Yeah, the barrel fire pit. Like, yeah. Still gets good views to this day.
Yeah. And that's not like an original idea, but my design was pretty original. Like, I hadn't really seen other people do that. I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. You know, I'll cut the top open. That way it'll be the screen on half of it. And the other half will be the bottom, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And also, you know, it's just that integrity of what we want the channel to be. Like, we want to be able to keep making whatever videos we want. And, some of it's a trade-off, right? Because we know that if we did all of one type of video, there are specific types of videos that would get us much more views.
Maybe, you know? Maybe.
And like, we could ride a wave, you know, like keep doing the same thing, and that's just not interesting to you or me, you know. Yeah, so
we can't.
You gotta do what you love, you know. And I love to do all sorts of different stuff, you know. Right. It's like, so, yeah. But yeah. One last thing I wanted to mention is tomorrow or Saturday, Chris Cash from Mount Phillip Metalworks is doing an open house and a tool sale out at his place in Frederick. So if you follow Chris, you know he does all sorts of awesome, like, giant power hammers and tools and all sorts of cool stuff that's blacksmithing, and he's a blacksmith and also works with the guys from That Works, the YouTube channel, Ilya and Matt. So he's doing the open house, so we're going to be out there on Saturday. I think it's like from 9 to 5. If you're interested in it, just send him a message on Instagram and he'll let you know information about, you know, how to make it out to his place and go get some, you know, cool blacksmithing tools and hang out and see what's going out there in Frederick, Maryland. So we will be out there at some point.
Yeah, come say hi if you're within, you know, an hour. That's like, it's like an hour drive for us, so.
Right. Come say hello. Yeah. I'm excited. So yeah, I sent Chris a message to let him know that we're gonna come out, and he was like, "Hell yeah, that's awesome." Like, you know, he sent me the information and, you know, where so he's at 9 to 5 and sent me his information. So we'll be out there, and Sean will be coming along. He'll be bringing his two sons along because his wife is on a little mini girls' vacation with my wife and a bunch of our friends, or, you know, friends' wives. They're doing a little birthday girls get together thing. So Sean was like, "I'm gonna need something because I'm gonna have the two boys. I need something to distract them." So he was like, happy to come along. I was like, "Hey, you want to go to Chris's on Saturday?" He's like, "Yes." He's like, "I don't care what it is. Just I'll need something other than just me home with the kids because I'm gonna kill them if I'm not." So if you're thinking about bringing Maeve, you'll have another little kid running around, a little 3-year-old almost, two and a half. Yeah.
Cool.
Fun. Yeah, so we'll be up there on Saturday. That'll be fun. Other than that, what do you got for recommendation today, Dev?
Grand Designs on the Roku channel, or it's, I think it's like Living and something on the Roku channel. It's like right near the This Old House channel and This Old House Maker channel, which is really cool, which I want to try to get on one day.
Oh yeah.
Like, they do, it's Dressed and all those guys, and their YouTube videos on the Roku channel. It's really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Grand Designs, it's been around forever, but the Roku channel shows all of them, so it'll be, like, from 2001, and then there'll be one from 2019, and then they have an Australia version and a New Zealand version and a couple of, they don't have an American version. But the cool thing about it, there's a million, like, house shows, like making the house, refurbishing the house. But the cool thing about this show is it takes it from beginning to end, and the houses are usually, they're, like, special. Either they're, like, modern or really ambitious, stuff like that. Like, I want to put a house on a cliff. I want to turn this old castle into something. I want to turn this old church into something. And they... Most shows that I know of don't go through the whole thing. And then usually the hosts are... The British one is really good, but they're like architects or designers. And they talk frankly about stuff. And not in a weird, dramatic, like, reality show way. Like, I don't know if this is... Is this going to get here in time? It's like none of that bullshit. Like, it's like...
Nice.
It's like, wait, you said you wanted this design thing, and now you're going with this, and you're going with cement here, and like, should you have all these windows, and like, where are you? Whoa,
sorry.
where good old springs.
Yeah, right.
But so it's like, but he's nice about it. But it's also he's keeping people in line, and then they always get them to like say how much money he spent on it. But anyway, it's a good show because each episode it would be like spring of 2017. And you're like, oh, okay. And then by the end, you're at like 2020 and they're finishing up. And he's been with these people. He's like met them like many times over 4 years. Sometimes like people get divorced. Sometimes like things go wrong. Like it's such a well done show. So
that's like a longevity show.
Oh there. My gosh.
We're
right.
Like, okay, we're going to produce this video and we're going to have to do it for 2 years. And hopefully we right. still have viewers and in 2 years. Yeah,
they just come back every 6 months, or they send a crew out.
Yeah. Right.
And then the main guy comes out and says, oh, how's it coming? Like, oh, this is looking good. You're bringing in the steel today, or every once in a while he'll give a hand with something, but he's mainly there to just talk document. To the couple yeah, right. or talk to whoever. Yeah. Like, it's cool. A great, great show. One of my favorite, like, home improvement, home design shows. So Grand Designs.
All right. Nice. Sweet. All right. Well, mine this week is hold on 1 second. I want to make sure I have so if you guys remember the last 2 years in May, I have put up a daily post in the May for Makers challenge, and that challenge is posted. Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's put on by Luke and Priscilla Smith. They have a couple different Instagram channels, Instagram, you know, pages. Priscilla has her own. They have theirs together, and then they have like the And They Make, which is their Instagram that kind of highlights other makers. But this is their main channel, which is PL Smithed. So PLSMITHED, Luke and Priscilla Smith, PL Smith, and they host the May for Makers challenge. So if you're interested and you want to try to, you know, it's a good way to build a little bit of audience on Instagram, because Instagram loves predictable posting. And if you can post every day, they're going to start pushing you because they see that you're posting every day, and they can predict that you're going to post again the next day. So they want to get that interaction. So it's a good way to build some traction for, you know, an Instagram page. And so I've done it for the last couple of years. And they just sent out a message saying, like, if people are interested and they want to get the information a little early, send them a message. So I sent them a message and they were like, oh, we're so happy you guys are doing it again this year, blah, blah, blah. You know, here's the information. So I had that. That'll start in May 1st, which is Monday. So you can keep your eye around. And if you want to, if you want to learn about new makers and see other people that are doing it, you can follow the hashtags. So you can follow the May for Makers hashtags. So there's probably like regular May for Makers, but there's also, there'll be like a May for Makers 2023, right? So you can follow that. Another really, a reason to do that is because they're doing a daily giveaway from things that they have gotten from sponsors. So they every single day in May, like this year they have, they've done a few in the past years. This year they have one every single day. So they'll be doing daily giveaways. Some of that I think is, it'll be like other people who are doing the Made for Makers challenge. Some of it will just be, you know, tag a couple friends and do this type of thing and you'll get something. But really it's just to like kind of build up the maker community, give some stuff away to people and just have everyone participate. So if you are someone who you think you can do it every day, I would challenge you to try it. It's not easy. You would think that it would be easy, right? You're like, oh, no big deal. I just do one post a day. That's easy. But it's not. So, you know, as Devin knows, because last year he told me that if I did it every day, he would do it every day. Which you lasted how long? Maybe like one day?
It was like three days.
So if you're out there and you're listening and you think it'd be kind of fun to post about it, send a message out to Luke and Priscilla Smith. Again, their Instagram is PL Smith, and I will link that in the show notes below. They'll send you information, and otherwise you can see it like on the first, second, or third. You'll see people start posting, and you'll see that they will post a kind of a calendar, and each day on the calendar it has a prompt. So it's not like you're just, you have to post for a month. They give you a good prompt. And the first couple, the first few days are kind of the easy ones. It's like, get to know me, look at my shop, you know, what are my ideas? What do I do? What are my ideas for the future? So they're kind of like the softball ones, you know, kind of gets you rolling, but they get a little bit harder. It's just, but it's fun stuff. You know, it's not super hard. It's always just like a, here's a prompt and post about it. So it, it makes it much more accessible to try to post every day and get yourself out there as a maker. So check it out. And Luca Priscilla are also just like a super fun couple that we've hung out with them at Maker Camp for the last couple of years. And they're really cool and fun to hang out with. And they're, you know, around our age, which is cool. You know, it's like
good people.
Like, yeah. Good people, same type of references and yeah, check them out. They do really cool work and you can follow, both, you know, all of their channels and see, you know, get some good stuff about other makers. I mean, their whole like goal is to just like bring everyone up together. It's cool
and do really cool stuff. So we should try to, maybe we should try to get them on this month.
Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah.
May,
yeah,
you know, get them right in the middle of May.
Absolutely. I like it. We'll definitely do that. That'd be cool. All right. And yeah, next week we'll have Dennis Tyrell on, and the winners of the Chopper Challenge will be revealed on our channel, our podcast next week. So if you want to hear it, I think the actual posts come out on our, on all of the channels. Like we'll post a video about the winners. I think that comes out at like noon on Saturday, the 6th. So, or on Friday, sorry. It's on Friday, the 5th. We'll record with him on the night before. And I think what I'll do is probably post the podcast a little early. So if you want to hear, if you want to get a little sneak peek of the winner before it actually posts, we'll do that. Now, I can't guarantee that I'm going to do that, but that's the goal. And that,
right.
I don't see why.
If they'll let us get away with it, we'll
yeah. And that's, you know, it's kind of fun. It'll build up a little bit of anticipation. And for all like, you know, 76 of you out there that are listening, you will know before everyone else.
76. So,
I always change that number up, you know.
We'll go higher for once.
Yeah, right. All 17,000 of you who listen every week
on
the Craftsmanship Podcast. Yes, you know who you are, and we love you. All right, everybody. Well, that's it for today. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you don't forget to head over to YouTube. Check out the Chopper Challenge. Vote for us. Come on. We know you're out there. All 76,000 of you that are listening.
Yeah.
Vote for us. You know, head over. You don't even have to watch the video. Just look at the description, click on the link, and put your vote in. You know, if you don't care about anyone else, then it doesn't matter. If you do, watch their video too, and then decide between them and us. But yeah, it's fun. It's just it's a fun challenge. It's fun to know that people are watching and that they're enjoying it and they're participating in what we want to do, which is kind of like, you know, shout everybody out and bring everybody along and kind of build the small channels up and the big channels bring them along and we all kind of do it together. So help us out. And you can follow both Devin and I on Instagram, The Art of Craftsmanship and The Art of Camera Guy. And if you want to support us further, and for those of you who do over Patreon, we really, really appreciate it. You guys can go to patreon.com/ The Art of Craftsmanship and you can support us there for as little as $1 a month, I think it is right now. So
yeah,
it's pretty low, but that's okay. You know, everyone who's over there, always they all support in however they can. And that's crazy that people will just like, you know, support you for just putting stuff out there, which we really appreciate. So thank you to all of our patrons. And if you head over there, that would be cool too. And if not, you can just shout us out and share us with your friends and give us a rating on whatever podcast platform that you listen to. That's cool too. All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much. Devin, always a pleasure.
Oh yeah.
Everybody else. Thanks for listening. And we will talk to you next time.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.